Corral there. My boys in the Bible college didn't say all what he said out of that chapter. And by the way, we have an open in our Bible college today this semester for a teacher. And we do. We really do. And we did have a guy. We had a guy that drove from South Carolina 3 years and taught in our Bible college every Monday night. And so he did it 3 years. So we'll buy some gas. Amen. But anyhow, that was great. I enjoyed Sunday school. Good to be back at Grace Baptist. Amen. And good to be in the house of God this morning. And I want to say, along with the pastor, I've already enjoyed church. I really have enjoyed the presence of God just being here in church this morning. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of God today. And good to be back at Grace Baptist. He's right what he just said. I told my wife sitting back there just a minute ago, I can't believe I'm here. Because, man, this year I've been booked almost not to Christmas, but pretty close. And he called some time ago, and I looked down, and I thought, man, I can't believe that. But I believe it now, and I like it. Amen. I'm glad I'm here. And I like coming here. I hope y'all like me coming here. If you don't, I still like coming here. Amen. And it's a joy to be here and be in the house of God. And thank you for the good place to stay last night. And I'm excited about your revival this week. I've been trying to figure out a way to be two places at one time. And because I would like to be here and hear the preacher preaching this week, because I know he's going to do a great job. Great preacher. You're going to enjoy him, and he'll be a real blessing to you. And I hope I don't run in the ditch today and tonight. So I hope we can get started off to a good start. And I know you're going to have a good revival this week. I know if this spirit goes right on through this week, you're going to have a good meeting. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of God. And I really appreciate the preacher allowing my wife and I to come and be with you in the service today and tonight. And it is a real joy to be here. I would stay. I really would. But if I do, I'm going to have two churches mad at me. So I better get back up in the mountain and preach two different churches. But anyhow, good to be here this morning and good to be in church today. Take your Bible and turn with me, please. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke, chapter number 7 this morning. And I'll share a thought with you that God put in my heart. And I hope I can be a real blessing today. Now, I have down everything I have preached here. Right here on this piece of paper. You say, do you keep up with that? You better believe it. Because if you go back to the same church, you better keep up with it. If you don't, you repeat yourself. And so I don't have no record. And by the way, had I preached this last time I was here, I'd still preach it. I would, but I've never preached it here. And so I hope the Lord to help us today. And I believe you ought to mind the Holy Ghost, don't you? And I pray God to help us today and speak to our hearts right out of the Word of God. Good to be here this morning. Amen. And what a joy it is to see you in the service today. I want you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Then I'm going to let you sit down because I want to talk a little bit before I read this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us today. Lord, I've enjoyed the good singing today, the good choir singing, these others singing today. Lord, the good music, the good Sunday school hour. It's already been a real joy to be in the house of God, and we thank you for it. And I pray now, Lord, as we open the precious Word of God and begin to read and begin to study, I pray you'll help us today. Lord, I pray you'll help us with the thought that's put in our heart for this hour. Then tonight, Lord, as we begin to examine revival and talk much about revival tonight, I pray, oh God, that you'll help us tonight in the service in a special way. Lord, you know the need of the service today. Today, tonight, this week, I pray you'll do that work for your people that needs to be done. I realize this morning they've come hungry. Lord, they've come looking. They've come seeking. I believe that with all my heart. And I pray God will be able to deliver that you have so burned in our heart this week. Lord, as we said it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated. I'll read in just a minute. I think it was 1989. I was standing in East Berlin when they was tearing down the Berlin Wall. And, as a matter of fact, I have a piece of that somewhere. I don't know what it is with. I brought it back. But I was standing there when they was tearing down, and I stayed on the east side of the wall because they was fleeing to the west side. And, I never will forget on the east side of the Berlin Wall, everything looked so dull. Everything looked so dreary. Every building was painted a dreary gray color. And the all was the same color. And when I looked at that, I thought, my soul, how hopeless that looks. And I asked somebody, I said, why is everything the same? Why is it like this? They said because communism wanted you to believe there's no hope at all, except in what they have. And I got to think about that statement. And I got to think about the condition of our country and the condition of our churches this morning. I go to a lot of churches, and I'll be honest with you, it don't look real good. And I'm not going to be negative in just a minute, but it don't look real good. When I look at the society today, and look what's going on in our country today, it breaks my heart. And it looks so dreary, and it looks so hopeless today. You can go downtown and go to Walmart or wherever. Do you ever just sit and watch people? They are interesting. And they really are. And we're living in a hopeless society. It looks like there's no hope at all whatsoever. I thought about our country spiritually this morning. Having a look at our country spiritually this morning, they are so religious, but yet so lost without God. They don't have a clue about the things of God. When you look at our country today, socially, how the condition of our country is in bad shape today. It seems like the homosexuals have more rights than we do. And socially today, our country today is in bad shape. When you look at our country today domestically, and how sad it is today when you look at it. Every 13 seconds in the United States, somebody is filing for divorce. Did you hear what I just said? Every 13 seconds, and by the way, if you have been in that situation, I'm not against you, I'm for you. But I don't say this to you today, socially today, our country's in bad shape today. Politically today, do I need to go there? I'm not going to go there, I'll get my blood pressure up. Politically today, our country's in bad shape today. Financially today, when I think about what could happen and may happen, our country doesn't look too good today. And I think about what Job said. Job said in Job chapter 7 verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. And having said what I said today, it looks hopeless in a lot of areas. A lot of things going on that breaks my heart. A lot of things going on that causes me sometimes to lay awake at night and think about and wonder about. But I want to preach a little while this morning on this thought. Hope where there is no hope. Hope where there is no hope. When I hear preachers across the country and I hear them discuss about revival in our independent Baptist churches, and if you listen to some of them, you'll get the idea that we'll never have revival again. But I want to say thank God. Hallelujah. There's hope. How well they seem to be the hope this morning. When it looks like there's no way. When it looks like it's not going to happen. Hey, listen, church, there's hope. Hey, well, there seem to be the hope this morning. Look in your Bible, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'll be conscious of the time. I promise you I'll get you out in time to eat dinner. Luke chapter number 7. And notice in verse number 11. And it came to pass. You understand? You better just sit still. Because I may talk a long time. Notice the verse. And it came to pass the day after. I don't know if you mark in your Bible or not. But if you do, won't you underline the day after. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Now, don't you get what I just said? The day after, he goes into a city called Nain. The day after that he's talking about is in verse number 1. Because in verse number 1, he had been in Capernaum that day, teaching the Word of God. The day after, he was in Capernaum. In other words, he's in Capernaum yesterday, and the day after, which is today. That's important that you get that. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. How many of his disciples went with him, and much people? How when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, had much people of the city was with her. How when the Lord saw her, I could preach on that statement right there. I don't care where you're at, he sees you. I don't care what your condition is, he sees you. I don't care what you're going through, thank God he sees you. Bible said in the verse here, the Lord saw her, had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that's the coffin. And they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead, sit up and begin to speak. Lord, have mercy. Are y'all hearing me? Sit up and begin to speak. And he delivered him unto his mother. And there was great fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen among us, how that God has visited his people. I'll take these verses I read to you this morning, and I'll talk to you out of these verses today. Thank God on hope, where there is no hope this morning. And that God is able to take the worst situation and turn it around today. And when you come to our text here today, you'll find Dr. Luke has shown the Son of Man doing the work of the Son of God. There's a reason I said that. Because he presents him as the Son of Man. And Dr. Luke here has shown the Son of Man how doing the work of the Son of God. And I'll just say this to you this morning. Few would ever dare to interrupt or stop a funeral possession. Because when the funeral procession comes by, for the most part, people look on and weep and cry and bow their head as they go by. The last church I pastored, I had several law officers in my church. Matter of fact, the chief of police in our town was one of my trustees. And he'd always have, when the funeral procession come by, he'd always have his officers standing at the stoplights as they would go out. And as we go through town at the stoplights, those officers would stand by with their head down, with their hat off, with their head down. And I'll just say to you this one, few would ever dare to stop a funeral procession. But here we see the Son of God this morning. Listen to me. He's stopping the funeral procession. And by the way, the doctors only have connections to the living, not the dead. Never the dead. When they die, it's over. But here the Son of God has connections here to this man and this boy here that has died this morning. And I'll just say this to you today in this story. There's no plea for help. You don't find this mama asking for help. You don't find this mother calling for help. You don't find this mama trying to contact the Lord for help. He does what he does. Have a heart of compassion. I never thought about that setting it. Hey, she doesn't call for it. How about he does what he does? Thank God. Have a heart of compassion this morning. And by the way, can I say this? Our Savior is full of compassion. He was moved with compassion. In this chapter, if you study it, you'll find that he does what he does in compassion. You have a dying servant, you have a grievous widow, and you have a perplexed prophet. And thank God he moves on their behalf this morning out of compassion today. How when it looks like there's no hope, how when it looks like it's all over, how when it looks like there's no hope, thank God he steps on the scene this morning. I want you to see two or three things out of this text. And I'll get more into revival tonight. I'm going to say a little bit about revival this morning. But don't you miss tonight, okay? I want to say, first of all, out of this text this morning, and by the way, I want to say this. We could start with our dear brother on this side and go down this side and come up this side. And everybody has their own story. What are you thinking about right now? Hope where there is no hope. Think about what I'm saying this morning. That thing in your life today. That situation that may be in your life today. And you needed God to move it. Hey, you needed God to work in that situation. I'll tell you something this morning. Praise God. He's a God that works when nobody else can work. And I will tell you this morning, how he gives hope when there is no hope. when it looks like it's all over, when it looks like there's no way, thank God he can always, always help us this morning. Can I just say this before I preach? I don't think revival days are over. If I believed that, I'd be 200 and some mile back up the road. I don't believe that this morning. I believe God's still able to send revival. I don't know how many times I've heard the preacher say this morning. If we'll get what we ought to get, if we'll allow him to work in our heart, if we'll allow him to do what he wants to do through us. And I'll tell you this one. Hey, friend, if you'll trust him and do what he says, do thank God. Hey, God's still able to send revival this morning. I'm not one of these guys that believe that, you know, it's over. God's done. I don't believe that at all. And I'll tell you this morning, he's still in the saving business. Boy, I got some stories I can tell you about that even this week. How he's still in the saving business. He's still in the reviving business. How it may look like a... I know where there's some churches that I would like to put a sign in front of them and said, I wouldn't have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Are you hearing me? I know where some of them are. But I'll tell you, even those that are asleep and those that are dead, thank God if folk will do what they ought to do and line up with God the way they ought to line up, God's still able to send revival this morning. So I want to preach to you a few minutes this morning out of this text on hope where there seemed to be no hope. Aren't you glad that we've got a God this morning that can take a hopeless situation? I mean, from a human standpoint, there's no way. From a human standpoint, it will never happen. But I'm glad, thank God, he's not a human God. He's a supernatural God. Amen. Hey, he's able this morning. Let's walk down through these verses for a minute this morning. First of all, look at verse number 12 again. Now, when he come nigh to the gate of the city, watch this verse. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. I want to start out by saying, first of all, I want you to look at this dead man. That's not a good place to start a sermon. Dead man. And I want you to notice this morning, he's not sick. He's dead. He's not going to die. He's already dead. It's not that he may die in 2 weeks, but the Bible said that he's already dead. There's no need have any IVs to assist him. There's no need to put a blood pressure cup on his arm. There's no need to check his heart to see if it's beating. There's no need to feel for pulse. He's dead. The sound of the weepers has already started. The sound of those this morning and crying for this young man have already started. I'm trying to tell you this morning, he's dead. Do y'all get the thought? He's not going to die. He's already dead. And by the way, the breadwinner of the family's already died. Her husband's already dead. And she here, she is a widow this morning. And notice, I don't know this. I don't know exactly his age. Look at verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, what's the next 2 words? Young man. Notice something else about that. Look at verse number 12. Now when he come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son. I looked those words up and I found this out. I found out that he's not an old man at all. As a matter of fact, that word son there has to do with a child. And I don't know what's happened to him. Somebody said he had a heart attack. I don't know. Somebody said he had cancer. I don't know. But I do know this. How to stay true to the text this morning, I believe he probably died sudden. I don't know what happened. He's a young man and he's dead. That's all I know. Somebody said he got kicked by a camel. I don't know. I just know he's dead this morning. And if you said in the text this morning here, here's a mother now that's brokenhearted. Her son is now dead. Her husband is already dead. And now her son's dead. Notice the second thing in this text. You don't see the dead man. But then in verse 12 through 13, you see the distressed mourners. Notice in verse 12. Now when he come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there's a dead man carried out, had the only son of his mother, on Shunem's mother, how she was a widow, and much of the people of the city were with her. Notice the distressed mourners. They're weeping, how they're crying. And by the way, they tell me in Jesus' day, a mother, when we lose a child, that it was a time that there would be a terrifying, gut-wrenching scream. And I can hear this mother, she begins to scream out, "My son, my son, my son's dead. Are you listening?" And here we find in verse 12 and verse 13, they're with her and they're walking with her. And the Bible said here, the distressed mourners, probably she thought the Lord had absolutely forsaken her. She probably thought God didn't care a thing about her. The distressed mourners, I can see them as they begin to make their way towards the gate of the city. Just on the outside of that gate, there's a cemetery. And by the way, in that day, they actually would hire people to weep and cry and mourn. By the way, can I say this? It's about got that way in our day. You don't see much crying anymore. Do you know that? But anyhow, you see the distressed mourners. And I'm telling you, hey, she has no idea what's getting ready to happen. I want to ask you a question. She probably felt like the Lord didn't care about her. The Lord didn't even know where she's at. The Lord was not concerned with her situation. Can I ask you a quick question? Has there ever been a time in your life that you felt like, well, God's not hearing me. God don't know. God's not paying no attention to me. He don't realize what I'm going through. He don't realize the stress and the problem. You say, preacher, I've never been there. I have. I have been there many times myself. And I felt like God just, he don't care, man. He don't even know where I'm at. He don't know what I'm going through. Are you listening? And no doubt in my mind, this mother, she may have thought that in her mind. But what she don't realize is, he's already making provisions to meet her need. I'm telling you, it looked hopeless. I'm telling you, it looked helpless. I'm telling you, it looked like there's no way. Are you listening? And I can see this funeral procession as they slowly make their way through the city and slowly make their way to the gate of the city, because on the outside of that gate's where they buried people. And I can see this funeral procession as they start towards the graveyard. And just on the other side of the gate, no doubt the hole has already been dug. No doubt the grave has already been digging. And oh my, listen, she has no idea. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever got further enough along reading your Bible that you can read between them lines? It's more than black ink on white paper. I can see this mother leading the funeral procession. I don't know how y'all do it in South Carolina, but up in the mountains where I'm from, when you get done with the funeral, the funeral directors come down the aisle, and the first thing they do is get the pastors, and the pastors go this way, and then the pallbearers, and then the coffin, and then the family, and lead out that way. It wasn't that way in Jesus' day. When someone died in Jesus' day, the mother always led the funeral procession. Not the preacher, not the funeral director, but she'd always lead. And I can see in my mind, how led by that mother as they begin to make their way down towards the graveyard. Led by the mother, those that was mourning and crying with her. How behind her, how she begins to, and by the way, Jewish tradition was, she brought him into the world, and it's her responsibility to be the last one to take him as far as he can go. Here's a mama with tears saying eyes. Here's a group of people following her that has no faith whatsoever was getting ready to happen. I thought about this. I'm not going to preach on it, but I'm going to preach on another time. They're making their way towards the graveyard. I'm talking about those distressed mourners. They're crying. You know, there's two crowds that day. There was one crowd that was following the coffin. But then there was another crowd that was following the cross. Are you hearing me this morning? And I'll say, that's the same deal we're living in right now. We got one crowd today that's dead of trespasses and sin. But thank God we got another crowd that's following Christ this morning. And I can see them as they begin to make their way. Notice this with me. You don't see the dead men, you see the distressed mourners. But don't you notice again in verse number 11. The Bible said it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. What that means is, he didn't start till that morning. It was the day after the day after. And that morning, he begins to make his way towards a little place called Nain. Hear what I'm getting ready to say. Early in the morning, he and his disciples leave Capernaum, which is 20-25 miles, to Nain and make their way that way. Watch this right here. You don't only see the dead men, the distressed mourners, but I see a discerning master. You say, what do you mean? He didn't leave till early in the morning, the day after, when he and his disciples began to make their way. Get what I'm getting ready to say to you. In that day, they buried the same day. If you died in the morning, they buried you in the afternoon. Read Deuteronomy 23. Read Acts chapter number 5. And how Sapphire died, they rolled him up, didn't even have a funeral, took him out and buried him. And are you hearing it? And in the same day when they died, they'd always bury him that day. I probably have had 1,000 funerals in my ministry. That's probably an understatement. I've never had but one funeral in my lifetime. They buried the guy the same day he died, just one. And I'll just say, but in the Lord's day, how they buried the same day. But here's what I want you to see. A discerning master. He says to the disciples, the day after, he said, let's make our way into the city of Nain. Get this. Before the boy ever died, probably before the young man died, our Lord said, we got to go to Nain, which is 20-25 miles, day's journey. And they begin to make their way towards the city of Nain. And he probably started before the boy ever died. Are y'all listening to me this morning? And he begins to make his way to the city of Nain. Jesus initiated the trip. Jesus commended the trip. And watch this. He arrives late in the afternoon. As they're getting ready to go through the gate of the city to bury that boy, and when they get to the gate of the city, I'm about to shout, guess who steps right out in front of her? Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you this morning, there's hope where there seemed to be no hope this morning. You ever realize this? Our Lord lived on a divine timetable. It was no accident. Had he been 30 minutes late, had he been 15 minutes late, they would have already buried the guy. Listen to that. A discerning master. Before the boy ever died, thank God, hey, they're making their way to the city of Nain. He's already initiated the trip before the boy ever died. And I want to say this to you today. This ain't got a thing to do with Calvinism. I'm not talking about Calvinism. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about He sees past time, present time, everything at the same time. And I will tell you, before the Lord ever died, hey, they're going. He's already said to the disciples, let's go to the city called Nain, because He knew what was getting ready to happen. It ever dawned on you, before the fall in Genesis 3, there was already a plan. Before Joseph was ever thrown in a pit, there's already a throne set. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Has it ever dawned on you? Before Lazarus ever died, He knew about that. He waited 4 days. And I'll say to you, child of God, cheer up this morning. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're facing this morning. But thank God there's hope. Why, there seemed to be no hope this morning. Some of you are saying this right now. Hey, preacher. Why hasn't God already moved on my behalf? I need him to do this and I need him to do that. And Lord, and preach, I desperately need God to work in a situation. Maybe a family situation, maybe a financial situation. It may be a career situation. I don't know what the situation is. And I'm sure I have a number this large as some of you in this room. You probably got children this morning. Has not done just right, and it looks like you prayed. And man, you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and God has not come through. I don't know what your situation is, but don't you get this picture. You say, preacher, why hasn't God done something for me? It could be that you're not far enough down the road yet. Y'all ain't getting that. You see, they'd already got to the cemetery. Yeah. And then our Lord, I'm talking about a discerning master. Lord, have mercy, what a God. He knew that morning, he knew. How probably before the boy ever died, he initiates the trip and says to the disciples, let's go to a city called Nain. Cause he knew what was happening. And he knew what was going to happen that afternoon. And out of a heart of compassion, she doesn't ask for a thing. She doesn't pray. She doesn't ask anything. But thank God, have a heart of compassion. He steps on the scene. So when they get to the, down to the gate of the city, all of a sudden, guess who steps out? Are y'all listening to me? Hope where there is no hope. And it could be this morning that you might not be far enough down the road yet. Because if something happened now and it got fixed, you take the glory. But I tell you what he does. He wastes all human possibilities are gone. And then he always shows up. I'm talking about a discerning master. Oh, yes, he knows this morning. He's always on time at the right time. Every time. Notice something else in this text. You don't see the dead men. You see the distressed mourners. You see a discerning master. But I also see a delightful meeting. Notice in verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, and I'll say to you, child of God, he sees you. I don't know what your situation is, and I really don't know myself why the Lord wanted me to preach this message this morning, because tonight I want to preach 3 hours on revival. But he wanted me to preach this morning. And I want to say, you may be in a condition this morning yourself. You say, man, I need to ride. I need something from God. I'll tell you, there's hope where there seemed to be no hope. You may have prayed and you may have sought and you may have fasted. You may have done this, that, and the other. I got some good news, thank God. It might just be around the next corner. It might be on the next hill, thank God. He always comes through. Yes, he does. Notice, not only you see the discerning master. No, I'll just say this before I move off that. Some of you looked at me a little strange. He knew what would happen before it happened. He initiated a trip before the boy ever died. The day after he was in Capernaum. That means early in the morning. And from Capernaum to Nain, look it up when you get home. It's between 25 and 30 miles. I'll tell you, he had to be right on time. He had to be at the right spot right on. He knows. Oh yes, he knows, thank God. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm going through. He knows where he needs to be at the right time. He knows how to move, thank God. What a God we serve this morning. Notice something else. You don't see a discerning master. But look at verse 13. I see a delightful meeting. Watch this verse. And when the Lord saw her, again I'll say this, he sees you. He sees your heart. He sees your condition. He sees what you need. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, I've done said it, but I won't say it again. She doesn't ask for anything. He does what he does, have a heart full of compassion. And had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not, watch this delightful meeting, verse 14. And he came and touched the bear. And they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead spake, and he delivered him. Well, let's read the verse right. And he that was dead began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Can you watch this right here? Can you imagine these pallbearers carrying this coffin? Are y'all listening to me? And they get within shouting distance of the graveyard. And our Lord steps out at the gate of the city right before they get to the graveyard. And when he steps out, the funeral procession stops. And when they stop, he reaches over and he touches the bier. That's the coffin. All he does is touch it. And when he touched it, hello, that young man sat up. Amen. Preacher, you've done this a million times. I don't know how many hundreds of times in 47 years in the ministry. I've stood at the end of a coffin. I stood at two coffins the other day. Man and his wife both died. First time I ever had a double funeral. I've stood at the end of a coffin many a time. And I've seen that family come by and say bye their last time. Weep and cry. But I have never seen this. While I'm standing there with the family, getting ready to have prayer with them after they look the last time, I have never seen one open their eyes. I have never seen one set up. Had that did happen, I would say, where would you like the door? Are y'all? Hello?
Amen. What a second.
I'm not afraid of graveyards. When I pastored Turner's Creek, the parsonage was here, and there's literally probably, would I be safe saying 150, 200 graves between us? It's an all-established church. I lived here in the parsonage. Mission House was here. I lived in the parsonage, graveyard here, and the big auditorium's over here. And a lot of times I'd work late at night. And I do cassette tape days. Y'all remember them days? And I was on several radio stations. And I had a stack of radio tapes this high, carrying them to the parsonage about midnight one night like this, walking through the graveyard. It ain't them people out there going to bother you. It's that crowd running up down the road going to bother you. I'm walking through the graveyard. And as I walk through the graveyard, my son-in-law, Jeremy Simpson, and my son, Jonathan, before Jonathan's ever married, and another guy from the church had hid in the graveyard. It's midnight. I'm walking by there. What a friend we have, NG. Just having a time. And son, when they come out behind them tombstones, I threw cassette tapes into the next county. I have never... They'll give an account for God for that. They might even be twice thrown judgment over. But anyhow, I've never stood there and that person moved. But while they're standing there, all of a sudden that young man sat up and began to speak. Preacher, I really wonder what he said. He may have said what you just said. He may have said, what a Savior. Hey, are you listening to me? And I'll say this to you this morning. There's hope where there seemed to be no hope. It might look like it's no way. It's never going to happen. But I want to say to you, child of God, it can happen. Hey, you trust God. You put faith in God. Hey, walk with God. Pray and walk with Him. It can happen, thank God. Life triumphs over death. Sorrow is turned into joy. And I want to tell you, by the way, I thought about this and I was saying about this morning. There's two groups at this funeral that really, really, really got upset. Number one, those that was hired to weep, they got very upset because they didn't get paid. And number two, them funeral directors standing around, they didn't get paid either. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm telling you this morning, hey, Jesus messes up a lot of things. And I want to tell you, hear me this morning, thank God. You say, preacher, what's the lesson in that for us? Here's the lesson. I'm glad, thank God, He put a light in every cemetery in the world. And our loved one that's been planted there, they're going to come forth again. And thank God we're going to be delivered to the Savior one day. And I'll say this to you this morning in light of the message. Hey, hope? Well, there is no hope. I don't know your problem this morning, but I know who does know your problem. There's hope, thank God. Where there seemed to be no hope. Even this week, and I will not let you know what this is about. My wife and I have been weeping and crying over a situation, literally. And I've seen God this week. And I want to tell you this morning, God is able today, whether it's revival, whether it's a situation in your life, I'll promise you this morning, God is able this morning. I close with this. I'm done. Listen to this. In this text, you see a dead man. You see the distressed mourners. You see a discerning master. You see a delightful meeting. But then I see in closing this morning a divine motivation. A divine motivation. Did y'all get what the pastor said a while ago? If you'll just believe God, if you'll just trust God, what do you believe in God for this week? A divine motivation. Let me ask you a question. When you read these stories in the Bible, does it do anything to you? I'm going to tell you what that story right there does to me. It makes me want to go bear hunting without a switch. With a switch. It just makes me want to go bear hunt with that. You say, what are you talking about? Man, you're talking about faith. Every time I read that, that stirs my heart. Because He's God this morning. Divine motivation. It reveals to me who the Son of God really is. And I will tell you, He's able this morning. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I want to remind you this. Jairus' daughter is already dead in the bed. Yeah. The widow's son's already in a coffin. Lazarus was already in the tomb. Yeah, but thank God there's hope where there seemed to be no hope. I sense a divine motivation. It reveals to me who the Son of God is. It also reveals to me the provisions of God. It also renews my hope in future problems. And I'll say to the church this morning, there's hope this morning. God can move. God can stir. God can answer. Hey, so God, listen to me. We live in a society. I don't think I've ever... I got a birthday in October. I have. I'm 51. I'm not lying. 22nd day of October. I started stand up a while ago. 22nd day of October. I'll be saved 51 years. I got a birthday. I love doing that. Sir, what is your date of birth? Which one? Oh, you have two? Oh, yes, I have two. Would you like to hear me? Are y'all hearing me? Hear what I'm getting ready to say. In my 69 years on this earth, I don't think I've ever seen, and I hate it, the morale and the American spirit and American attitude and our thrill about being an American and our thrill about being in this country and our excitement in our churches. I have never seen it at an all-time low as it is right now. No hope. It's terrible. Look up here and listen to me. Your hope is not in Washington. If that's where your hope is this morning, you're in bad shape, friend. And that's not where my hope is this morning. And I'll say to you this morning, there's hope. Well, there seemed to be no hope. Somebody come piano so I quit preaching. There's hope. Well, there seemed to be no hope. In closing, can I say this? There's three classes of people in this world that have hope. You say, who are they? Number one, a man where the Holy Ghost has quit speaking. And God don't deal with him anymore. He's without hope. You say, I don't believe that happens. Read Genesis chapter number 6. My spirit shall not always strive. That word strive has to do with a lawyer striving. It has to do with somebody begging or pulling. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing right now. He's trying to get you to get saved. And you say no, and you say no, and you say no, and you say no, and you say no. There'll be a day God could take that away from you and never speak to you again. You say, I don't believe that happened. I've seen it happen. I know it can happen. Number two, not all men with the Holy Ghost don't speak no more without hope. But a man that's heard the gospel and understood the gospel and the rapture of the church takes place, there's no hope. You say, I don't believe that. You ain't read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 then. Hey, you heard the gospel and understood it. Jesus comes. You're going to be left behind to die and go to hell one day. And then number 3, a person that dies without Christ is without hope. Without hope. I really appreciate y'all listening to me preach this morning. Hey, brother, you know what these people been doing while I was preaching? Doing the same thing you're doing right now. Hope. Well, there seemed to be no hope. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I have a lot of things I want to say about revival. And if you don't change my mind, I'm going that direction tonight. But God, this morning, you want me to tell the folk there's hope where there seemed to be no hope. There may be somebody in this room this morning and they're seeking revival. It might look hopeless to them, but it's not hopeless. There may be folk in this room this morning and, Lord, I'm sure we all got our own story about what we desperately need God to do. I'm sure there's folk here like that this morning. I pray, God, you'll speak to hearts today. God, generate faith, work in hearts and lives. Help them realize that it might be the reason God hadn't already moved on their behalf. Might be that they're not far enough down the road yet. But if they'll keep living for you, if they'll keep trusting you, if they'll keep believing you, you'll step out at the right time, at the right place. So I pray you'll help them this morning. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. There's already several around the altar this morning. I wonder this morning who I preach to. Maybe you'll lift here and say, preacher, yes, I'm saved and I know I'm saved, but you know, I got some things I really, really need God to help me with. I need some hope in some areas of my life. Family, I don't know what it is, but you do. Would you pray for me right now? I'm going to raise my hand before you do. Now I've got mine up. Anybody else want to join me? Yes, preacher, yes. I really need God to help certain areas. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. Now I see all those hands. You can put them down. The second question I want to ask is this. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, if you're here and you don't know God or you're not saved, I wonder right now if you let the pastor myself pray for you. Preach, I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Would you pray for me right now? I will if you'll raise your hand. I'm just not saved or I'm not sure about it. Would you pray for me? Hold it real high and put it right back down. Anybody? Anybody? All right, listen to this. You that raise your hands, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to move out from where you're at right now. Join this crowd that's already at the altar and bring out to God this morning. You need to come? Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Who's going to be next? Come on. That's it. Come on. Bring it to the Lord. We're going to have prayer. Others? I see that one. Others? Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what I thought about this week and prayed about as far as preaching. But I could not get away from this thought, hope where there is no hope. That's so about revival. That's so about our daily lives. There's so many needs, even my own heart, my own life this morning, my wife. Lord, you know about them. We need you to help us. And I pray you will, and I thank you that you have. Now, these around the altar this morning, God, I pray that you'll continue to help them. There were several people raised their hands. That's not moved. And I pray right now, may the Spirit of God work in their heart and their life, and may they give that situation to you. Meet every need this morning. May all the will of God be done in Jesus' name. I'm glad there's hope where there seemed to be no hope.
Thank you for listening to another live Sunday morning broadcast from the Grace Baptist Church of Orangeburg, South Carolina, with our pastor, Brother Darrell Wilkins, here on WWOS FM 91.9 and WWOS AM 810 St. George, South Carolina. Also WPOG 710 AM St. Matthews, South Carolina, and online at WWOSradio.net. We appreciate you listening this morning, and it's our prayer that we have been been a blessing and encouragement to you today. If you'd like more information about Grace Baptist Church or about salvation, call 803-536-4300 and we'll be glad to help you in any way we can. Please join us next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another live Sunday morning broadcast from the services of Grace Baptist Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina, 4305 Columbia Road. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your Sunday, and God bless you.
As a light that shines its light to the darkness of this world, this is your source for sound biblical teaching and Christ-honoring music. WPOG, St. Matthew, South Carolina, AM 710. Thanks for listening.